We have the twin paradox. We looked at the two twins, Roberta and Dave. Roberta goes off to a planet at 3/5 the speed of light for a distant star. When she's there, she quickly decelerates and then quickly accelerates, gets back up to speed 3/5 of light, and then for whole journey back, same speed. And from her perspective, well, from Dave's perspective on the planet, Roberta's been traveling at this high speed. Her time is time dilated. Her time is stretched out, so everything's slower for her, including her heartbeats, including everything to do with how she ages. So from Dave's reference frame, back on planet Earth, she should be younger. But it seems as if we can do the reverse argument from Roberta's perspective. That, I mean, there's nothing special about the Earth reference frame. You don't have to use the Earth reference frame in special relativity. All inertial reference frames are equal. So it seems perhaps, well, we can't Roberta then look at things from her perspective and say, well, I'm stationary. What's happening is the entire Earth with Dave moving away from me, we could see him back to me, therefore his time is time dilated. Therefore, what happens is, okay, he's the one that should be younger. And then the paradox is, it can't be the fact that Dave's perspective is right, Roberta is younger than him, and Roberta's perspective is right, Dave's is younger than him. And so, as some of you will know, so the solution is, the solution is that, well, remember special relativity is about inertial reference frames. So there's something special about inertial reference frames, frames where there's no acceleration, that aren't speeding up or slowing down. And if we look carefully, Dave, is he accelerating at all? No, he's not. So he's always in one single inertial reference frame. But Roberta, well, she actually has to need a turnaround point. She has to slow down. And she has to change direction somehow. And to do that, she has to accelerate. She has to change, really, from one inertial reference frame to another one. And she has to switch. And so she's not staying in one single inertial reference frame. And that's when we can apply time dilation. That's when we can apply all the formulas of special relativity. But she goes out of that because there's some acceleration there. And as soon as you have acceleration, you're not in a single inertial reference frame. And the time dilation formula, that's only actually applicable in one single inertial reference frame. Dave stays in one. He can use it consistently to track how Roberta's going. But from her point of view, because she slows down, and she'll actually feel this. She'll feel sort of a lurch forward when she's decelerating. She'll kind of sort of push back in a seat like you do when you're speeding off from traffic. And so that will tell her, I mean, that's an indication that she's in a non-inertial reference frame and that you cannot apply the formula. So that's one way of looking at it. There's also a space-time diagram way of looking at it. And okay, upside. Actually, I can. Great. So, what we can do, we get a space-time diagram, which is going out 3/5 c. We can actually plot out all the points for her journey and for Dave. And so, the easiest way to look at it is from the Earth's reference frame. So the perpendicular lines are lines at right angles. Have this been Dave's time axis or CT axis? And this is X axis. So and so let's say that the journey lasts, 10 years. So let's use years up here, and then light years along the horizontal axis. So 10 years to, at least from Dave's perspective, from Dave's reference frame. So 10 there. The journey outwards, let's say that takes 10 years from Dave's reference frame or Dave's perspective. So let's look at the world line for Dave, actually what he does. And so his reference frame, is he moving relative to his reference frame? No, he just stays there. So at the origin, he's there, so he can do a cross. And so if I want to draw what happens to him, would that be a curved line or a line?
Vertical
line. Okay, vertical line going up. So that's 10 years, 20 years there, so. Okay. Okay, so that's Dave. He's being couched in the code, just staying there. Okay. So now what we need to do is draw the world line, or kind of the sequence of events for Roberta. And so we'll draw her axes, her reference frame. She's moving at 3/5 C, so you know that these axes here, so we have her space axis and CT dash axis there, her time axis. So what we need to do is to see how her journey looks in space-time. And so will we, if we draw the ward line for her, just on the outward trip, so the first half of that, will she, so I guess it, so according to Dave, from Dave's reference frame, at 10, up to 10 years, she reaches the planet. So if we draw her ward line, should that be also a straight line or at an angle? Angle. This angle? CT line, great. Okay, and how, so if it occurs at the same time as 10 years in Dave's reference frame, that's 10 years there. So we'll draw a line just across here for, try and make it very clear. Okay, yep, that's probably better. Okay, so make it even.
Use one of the whiteboard markers.
Okay, so that's our outward journey. So we've got the first half of it. And what about the second half? So she has to somehow end back up with Dave here. So what should we do for that? Yep, exactly. So it, what it is, she comes back at the same speed. So if you come back at the same speed, she'll have, in a sense, the same kind of slope, or really the magnitude of the slope. But really, she's going in the opposite direction. So she goes in the opposite direction, exactly the same. But back like this here. And so she's going at, so this will actually give you the same velocity. She's actually moving across space at the same rate, just in the opposite direction. So that's what it looks like. And so we have the space-time diagram, we have everything. So what we can do is, what we want to do is just essentially count up the, basically the amount of time, or the time elapsed from the two perspectives, according to the two observers. And so Dave is fairly easy. We can just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So that's 20 years from Dave's reference frame, from his perspective. That's how much time he sees as elapsing, so 20 years as of time has passed. And so he measures that by aging 20 years. So let's look at things from Roberta's perspective. And so to do that, we need to, as you did yesterday, actually plot out, we actually need to mark off the marks and the graduations and the ticks on her axis. And so we have this sort of time dilation factor of 5 over 4. And so we know that there's, what happens is, so the ticks in her axis are spread out, her time axis here. And I think you saw an example yesterday you had with Brenda and Ali. So it's very, very similar to that. So we know due to time dilation, so it's exactly the same as Brenda and Ali. So the what Dave will see is being 10 years of time has passed. So he will see Roberta's clock. He's in an inertia reference frame. He can use the time dilation formula. So instead of 10 years has passed, from his perspective, what he'll see is, Roberta's clock is being slow. Instead of 10 years, it's actually 10 multiplied by 1 over the Lorentz factor, which gives us 8. And so he sees her clock is running slow, and instead of having, up there, we put 8 there, and I guess we have 4 there, and so forth. So we have different times here, so that after, at the turnaround point, Dave C. Roberta is only aging 8 years. Only 8 years have passed from her point of view. So we've got that out there. And then the journey on the way back, that's actually, in a sense, that's symmetric. That's the same, except we're just heading in the opposite direction. So it's as if we've kind of reflected everything, or Roberta's axis about her CT dash axis about the Y axis, the vertical direction. And then, so the grid marks are actually the same. So it's the same slope, so we're going to have the same kind of distance between all the grid marks, except... Okay, so about there. So there's four there, and four more there. Gives us 16. And so... Right, so what we have there is, so from, that's how Roberta marks out time, so we've actually looked from her reference frame, her personal time, and she actually does switch reference frames, so it's 8 years on the way out, and then it's actually symmetric on the way back, it's the same thing, just a different direction, 8 years on the way back, add them up, gives you 16, and that's 16 compared to 20, and so the space-time diagram shows us actually that what is happening is that Roberta will be younger by 4 years. So that's how you can see it from a space-time diagram. Another way of looking at it is, I will just put that up, is looking at, remember we had this S, this space-time interval, and we have the path there for Roberta and for Dave, and turns out it doesn't actually look like it, but well, actually, I should say, if we look at things from, if we look at the, okay, the space-time interval between here and here, the x value, well, space-time interval is the is equal to that, but going up Dave's word line from here to here, well, there's no position there, there's no delta x, it's just exactly the same position, so that's equal to zero. So that gives us that value. So the space-time interval there actually measures and marks out the time. So okay, so that apart from, well, so that's, well, that will give us 20. Years time C there, and but let's actually do the space-time interval for this line here, and just as the space-time interval for Dave is just purely made up of time, and between there and there, it actually marks out time and coincides with time, except for up to a constant factor, C. So the space-time interval, if we actually look at the space-time interval there, that offer the path of the world line of Roberta, just as with Dave, he thinks, I'm not moving relative to myself, I'm not moving, so all my space-time interval just is time. So Roberta thinks, I'm not moving, and I'm just in my reference frame, I just stay doing what I do. So if I want to mark out how much space-time interval elapses from me going from in my path, all it is time. There's no delta x for me. I'm not moving relative to myself. That's impossible. So if we add up the space or calculate the space-time interval, the s along this, what seemed we did actually along the path when we draw it, that will actually give the time that elapses from a Roberta's perspective, just as we have today. And so if we do that, then turns out that we need to find the space time interval here and here, and then we double that. But the planet is, say, 20 light years out, or 10 light years out, so we have this time here. And so we actually want to calculate space time interval between here and the middle point. And so that's given by the time value there that we have for delta t is, that's the time in Dave's reference frame there. So we have t for the total time, which is 20 years in our case. And to get to the halfway point is half that, so that's 10 years. And so we just have, put 10 in there, and that's CT, and the time, capital T divided by 2. So that's what we have for the time. But the distance, so that's, I guess, 10 light years out. So we have 10 there. But well, let's keep it general. Let's make it a D, because the planet could be 20 light years away, 30 light years away, any other distance. So what we have is this here. But the key thing is, because we have this sort of strange hyperbolic structure, this strange way that space and time are connected, and we saw that with the kind of the strange grid pattern, we actually had to draw up the different reference frames. Normally we would have plus sign there, but we have the minus sign. And so in some sense, all the magic and weirdness of special relativity is in that minus sign. So we have this minus sign. So if we take out a factor of CT out the front, do a little bit of manipulation, what we get is CT and then the square root of 1 minus something. So, and that is actually the space-time interval along this path. But remember, that's just the time that Roberta measures on her watch. That's how she marks that time, just as Dave, his space-time interval, marked out how much time he thinks has elapsed. And what we know is, so the question is what's inside the square root there, or the square root of what's inside it, is that greater than 1, equal to 1, or less than 1? Obviously, it's 1 minus something. So it's going to be less than 1, take the square root of something less than 1, that's less than 1. So obviously this is going to be less than CT here, but CT was the time that Dave marks out as elapsing from him starting the journey, or Roberta starting the journey and her getting back. And so basically because all of this little negative sign here, this weird way that space and time are connected to each other, what you actually have is that in some sense the distance, we have this sort of weird geometry from following this, what seems to be a longer path, actually is shorter. There's actually a shorter path as you measure it by, in a sense, the space-time interval because of the minus sign, and that shorter path translates to a shorter time because the path is actually just equal to the time. And so, geometrically, that's another way of looking at the twin paradox. So really, it's shorter time because in some sense that actually is, even though it doesn't look at it. Remember, we can't, you can't just take space-time diagrams at face value. You can't just look at them and put rulers on and actually measure out distances. You have to really be aware of which reference frame you're in and the structure of the actual space and time. You can't naively read them off. So that's another way of looking at twin paradox.
Question, Dave?
Yep.
The paradox is resolved only when we look at the fact that the traveler has to change their inertial frame of reference.
Yep.
So, do these pictures incorporate the change in inertial frame of reference, or perhaps another way of saying it is, when we look at this picture from Dave's perspective, we get a calculation on the different on the time dilation, and we're happy. But could we not also draw this very same picture from Roberta's perspective and come up with the same thing because we're not capturing the inertial the change in the frame of reference?
No, we couldn't draw that. I mean, this first of all, we couldn't draw that because Dave, they're not symmetric with each other, because Dave wouldn't have something like this. This is an acceleration. We do have, this is the point where Roberta accelerates, and so we're actually capturing it in there. And so you can think of it as her jumping from one reference frame to another. And the interesting thing is what actually Roberta sees, so it's easy to see what Dave sees. He sees Roberta just aged, he's looking through a pair of binoculars or a telescope, or they have a radio link or whatever on TV. Then he actually sees her aging more slowly the whole way around for the whole trip. But from Dave's perspective, actually Roberta's perspective, it's kind of interesting. What she sees is maybe she has a TV link to Dave and she's getting all electromagnetic signals, satellite link or whatever it is. She actually sees, while she's on the way out, she actually sees Dave aging more slowly. So Dave is younger than her. She's just in one inertial reference frame. And then the vast majority of the aging of Dave, actually from Roberta's perspective, as she turns around, even though it could be just a second or as short a time as you like from her perspective, she actually sees Dave age rapidly, quickly. So he changes from aging very, very slowly to suddenly as if he's some super, super fast forward movie. And then he suddenly rapidly gets very, very, very much older. And then on the way back, She's in one inertial reference frames, so Dave is moving relative to her. She actually sees Dave aging more and more slowly. And so the strange thing is, a lot of the aging of Dave, from Roberta's perspective, is actually at the turnaround. Even though that's, from her perspective, just a very, very, very short amount of time. And it's kind of strange, but you can actually think of that from a space-time diagram point of view of the simultaneity, because if I go over here, I'll draw that a bit better. So we want to find out all the events that happen at the same time in, according to Roberta, her reference frame. We know all these events we saw here have time CT dash equals zero. So they all happen exactly the same time for Roberta. So we just translate that up and get this event here. So at when Roberta turns around, she sees Dave as aging here at this point. And so that's just before the turnaround, and just after the turnaround, what happens is just as her path here is the CT axis, so going back this journey here, that's actually the new CT axis. Where she's going along defines her CT axis. So we'll call it a double dash there. So if we've got the new CT axis for Roberta, then how can we actually, we need to put in her X dash axis, what a dash axis is. What she really done has she's gone from, yeah?
In terms of resolving the paradox through the acceleration, she really goes through three accelerations, separating from the turning around and coming back to rest. Isn't there three instances of acceleration where that would be resolving the paradox?
You can think of it like that, or you could think of it as just the initial condition where you start is there is the same place, but they're passing past each other and they look at each other as they pass past. And you can get rid of the other two accelerations that way.
Well, she still has to decelerate to return to his space.
So that he can make, because what I'm concerned about is that if there's only one instance at the point of turnaround that the paradox is resolved through the acceleration, then basically the decision about how much aging Dave does has to be resolved before she actually finishes the trip. So it's almost like the outcome of her returning to Dave is known by the correction factor at the change of direction. And I don't think it occurred all there. It does.
This is a standard equation, so it does. And you can actually, I mean, there are different ways of doing it. You could have it with the acceleration starting off with. And you can factor that in. But the main, you still get the same conclusion. Or, I mean, you could have it where she just starts off moving at constant velocity past that, and then they're right next to each other. And So, what we want to do is we found out, if we look at the two time axes for Roberta, she's just changed direction. And so her time axes are reflected about the vertical axis. And so to get her new space axis or X dash axis, we actually just reflect that about the vertical axis. And we get something that looks like that there. So really, what that's meant to be is just the same, exactly the same angles as this one, except they're actually just flipped over, and they're flipped over because what we're doing, in a sense, we're just changing direction. So we're changing we're going sort of the positive direction, we're going the negative direction. So instead of her axis kind of coordinate frames being orientated, sort of going towards the right, they're actually going towards the left here. So it's a change of direction from plus V, plus 3CO5 to minus 3CO5. So that's what we have. And then, okay, we drew, just as we drew, these are all the points here that are parallel with her, that occur at the same point in time as her. And so if we have those, what we find out is that but just after she's turned around, the point in time that's simultaneous with that in a new perspective, a new reference frame, is this point here. Before, just before the turnaround, it was this, and after the turnaround, it's that. Now, we can make the turnaround as short as we want. We can make it a millisecond. We can make it half a second. And so from Roberta's point of view, quickly jamming on the brakes and then quickly stepping on the gas could be just 1 second. Very, very short period of time, but what happens is but how she sees Dave aging is what happens is the events, so first of all, it's kind of this point is simultaneous with her, and then she actually says she changes through this quick acceleration process. She actually sees Dave as passing through all these points here, and this line is simultaneous with her. And that's actually why she sees aging by this sort of large amount, even though only a second happens for her.
Is the X double prime axis, if I put a mirror on what I would call my Y axis, my
yep.
T axis, if I put a mirror on it, it would be coming out with that, and then I just moved it up, keeping it parallel.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yes?
I think the most concrete way you can do this for the students is actually to do real space, where you have two students and they can both be moving, and you can play this one through where student A says, you're moving away from me, and in fact, you can even in the classroom frame, they can both be moving. A says, you're moving away from me, B says, you're moving away from me, and then you say, okay, B, turn around. And one of them will turn around, because the only way to get back together is somebody's got to turn around. And whichever one turns around, you can ask class, okay, who walked further? Right? It's different. Mm. The only funny thing is that in this weird space, that turnaround is the smaller distance. But I think you acted out with real space, where everyone's like, yeah, they're not equivalent. One person turned around.
Yep.
Then you can, okay, it's not symmetric. And once you've got them agreeing it's not symmetric, you just have to point out that turnaround distance is actually shorter. It's not in real space.
Yep. Lynn, yep.
I don't know if you have wave tables. Do any of those have the wave tables?
Yeah.
It's all to do with Doppler shifts, right?
Actually, there are a number of different ways you can do it. You can do it with Doppler shifts.
You can have it going across and you turn around and you run into all those wave fronts
mm-hmm.
right at that point.
Yep.
You can show the kids get that way.
Yeah, and Lynn, actually, Brenda's big trick in your package, he has them do exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the microcomputer simulation or something.
Yeah.
With the wave fronts, because all it is when his light gets to you, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
But conceptually, that's what's going on.
Mm, mm.
And
it's interesting.
The
there are a number of. Sorry?
Who showed us the Paul Kitt
thing?
Yeah, it does exactly that. Right?
Yeah.
Like, time has to do with when you get into the fourth thing.
Yeah,
It's not.
Yeah.
When did it happen? It's how far away did the light get?
Yeah, absolutely.
So conceptually, you do the wave fronts and that they're all packed up, and when she turns around, she goes into them all.
Mm-hmm.
The ages.
Yep. Yeah. There are a number of different ways of looking at it. It's quite a subtle problem in some ways. You could look at it from a point of Doppler shift and she's moving away, so there's some red shift there and then blue shift as she comes back. And also there's waves in general relativity and gravity and stuff. But yeah, this is but that's the general the most straightforward way. So there are a lot of different
but then
ways.
You actually understand that time is not something that's fixed.
Yeah.
Time is fixed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's a very subtle thing because just your intuition is screaming out from the 17 years or how many years you have on this planet. The time is this one absolute thing, but pretty much the constant speed of light forces necessarily forces something strange to happen to space and time. And it's the time dilation and the length of contraction. You both kind of, in a sense, need those to balance out each other to get the constancy of the speed of light.
Yeah, and it's not that light is a medium, but it very much has a medium.
Yeah.
But it goes through the idea of the waves path.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, it just travels.
Yeah. Just it's like in a single medium when the kids start to see that the waves can go faster and that they cram off. But the same thing with the light.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So that is a twin paradox. So I think we have one more slide about the skateboard paradox. That's actually kind of a tough paradox. So my brain is hurting for the entire week. So what I might do is I might sort of put off that explaining it to the rest of the whole class. I might make a mistake and that would be bad and you'd write bad stuff in the evaluation. But during the coffee break, a few people said they were interested in it. If you are interested, I will explain that in 5 minutes during the coffee break. So that will be an optional thing. It actually involves two dimensions across and down, and you have to, there's time as well, so it kind of gets complicated. But it's actually a very, 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 very cool thing. So if you want that, if you want some coffee, that's also fine. So what we might do now, so you have one evaluation form, and we decided that wasn't enough. So we have actually two more evaluation forms. And I think we may even have an evaluation form on the evaluation. No, I think. So during the week, at the start, you wrote down the number that you had in terms of your level of motivation, your level of interest. We'd like to actually get an idea of whether that's changed or not. And I know you've all written it down in a safe place and memorized it with your ironclad memories. So if you could write that down, the number between 1 and 40, I believe it was. So if you remember at the start... Sherry, do you remember your number? Okay. No, okay. Yes, you do them now. GPS, so get this over with rather than having this right at the end.
Yeah.
So on the, So just on this sheet that looks very much like the first one, if you could just write the top right hand corner, just write down whatever your number was. Just leave it blank. Right, yeah. Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay, so sorry about that.
Yeah.
but two of these, like.
So he wants some of the books?
Books, yes. And then we're gonna pass up the survey on the.
Thank you.
three orders.
Thank you.
Okay. When you start to pattern the down this way.
Conventional way. It's not fair or correct. It's convention. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't bring in convention.
I will try
it then
on
purpose.
Absolutely.
Try it on purpose. Find time with another. And then objectively look at this. You would have been here.
Last week of July, I don't know.
That's a pretty good for dinner, yeah.
Yeah,
have that. Yeah. When you have that.
So anyone's got survey time?
When do we do the evaluation on the evaluation?
Oh, that's actually, we decided it's not the time. We're skipping coffee break this morning, so we can evaluate the evaluation.
You realize by the time I get to the end of 5 days, the 10-page evaluation, all I have left is 4 by 4
on my sheet.
Bottom right, make the evaluation. We don't have to stop writing. And that's it.
Bloody long.
And then there's the one on the text on the survey.
Do you have a ruler?
No, it's a blank
What are regular YouTube teaching resources?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Friday afternoon did not happen. What created the meeting?
But I don't remember it all.
That'd be so That's what Tim's just for.
I did mine yesterday. I actually did yesterday.
In Greek, it's not for the future.
The other problem with that, when you detail serving like that, is you don't say, do you remember what we did on Tuesday? Well, you might have been doing Tuesday morning, but I sure expect to go on. Grumpy Wednesday morning, so whatever that does. And so then what you so instead of you broke that instead of Moore's law in the back you were whacking up against Moore's law, all of a sudden you have a linear board and you go over the law.
I'm going to go around.
base that up.
Oh, yeah.
No!
We'll come back here in 20 minutes.